So I decided to go to Egypt because I felt that in some way this story was a story connected to people my age and people of my generation. I'd seen what happened in Tunisia, and it primarily kind of focused on how social media and young adults that had just graduated from university in their mid-20s were in some way disenfranchised and disconnected from their country or from their government. So I decided to go really because I felt that I could relate in some small way to those people. The people that started this were my age. I'm 27, and it felt really like a youth story. And in fact, most of the work that I've done so far has been concerned with young people, adolescents, and it just felt, and I just felt connected to it. And certainly, you know, the people that I was working with, and my colleagues and my friends working for magazines and newspapers, were all the same age, and we were all there, and we all kind of agreed that this was a story in some way that we felt connected to. It was definitely a generational thing, I think. The overall atmosphere for the whole time that we were there was generally well-spirited, good-spirited, kind-natured, positive. The obvious 2 to 3 days that were not like that were then when Mubarak announced for the first time that he wasn't going to step down, that he was going to oversee a transitional government from January until September. And obviously that didn't play very well with the majority of people that were already in Tahrir Square. And so, yeah, the next day, the Wednesday, the 2nd of February, I think, was when the violence started. I actually started out that morning going to a district called Mohandaseen in Cairo. It was a tip that someone else had given us, and myself and two other photographers travelled there that morning because we heard that there were pro-Mubarak supporters. We got to the district, and after initially being quizzed and kind of questioned by demonstrators there if we were from Al Jazeera or we were from any other Arabic TV network, we said that we weren't, and we were photographers, and they let us in. And for that 2 or 3 hours in that morning, we were generally well received. People wanted to tell us their stories, why they thought Mubarak was a good choice to stay over until September. He's made a good decision, and they just couldn't figure out why people in Tahrir Square were not buying any of it. So I photographed the scene for 2 to 3 hours until about lunchtime, until the crowd turned and started walking towards Tahrir Square. And I just left the crowd seemingly at just a kind of pivotal moment before they got closer to Tahrir Square and anti-Mubarak forces where they eventually clashed. And then I made my way from the pro-Mubarak supporters in through a back entrance to Tahrir Square and photographed the clash. I mean, interestingly, the guys on camels and horses that I'd photographed that morning, Mohandaseen, pro-Mubarak supporters, were eventually the guys that you saw on TV riding, camel charging, horse charging into Tahrir Square. I don't know where those guys are now. Did I ever feel in danger? I mean, the only time that I felt personally in danger was not actually the rock throwing, the kind of medieval warfare that happened between the two sides for 3 or 4 days during those protests. It was actually walking back. I wasn't staying in a hotel in where a lot of journalists were staying. I was staying in a district about 45 minutes, half an hour's walk from Tahrir Square. So during those days of fighting, or during those days of pro-Mubarak supporters were out on the streets in the evenings, the walk out from Tahrir Square and the long walk back to where I was staying in a district called Zamalek was certainly a little bit nerve-wracking. You had to pass through checkpoints. You had to armed by, you know, vigilantes or certainly well-armed neighborhood watches, and they would question you. They'd look at your passport. They'd ask who you were, search your bags. And then when we finally got back to the apartment, often there'd be no internet or lots of other apartments would have internet, but the one that I was staying in and I was FTPing images to my client wouldn't have internet. And then we heard rumours that there were secret police downstairs. Other photographers had secret police knock on their door and take their memory cards. And that was certainly the scariest, almost intimidating atmosphere. After that, crowds and things like that, I generally felt okay with, but the walk back and the night when it wasn't quite clear which way the protests would go were certainly some of the more anxious moments of the whole thing. I think what people wanted as an end result was the complete removal of Mubarak and his regime. I mean, we certainly saw that the first announcement by Mubarak that he would oversee a transitional government, that he wouldn't stand in September, he wouldn't appoint his son, didn't really appease anybody in Tahrir Square. It certainly pleased the pro-Mubarak supporters, but it didn't appease anybody in Tahrir Square. So I think what they wanted as an end result was a complete regime change. And to some extent that they got that. But I think now when I left on the 13th of February, certainly the army were coming in. They were beginning to clear protesters in Tahrir Square. They were repairing damage done by protesters. People were cleaning the streets. So there was some sort of closure to that regard. But then we've seen in the previous days, people are still protesting. They want higher wages. They want their jobs back. They want their bosses. They want new bosses. They don't want this kind of transitional government at the moment. For some people, it's still not enough. But for the most part, from what I can see, people were happy with the outcome that the 18 days of protest took. I think there'll still be a lot of protests to come, but it's a sign of how far the country has moved forward in just 3 weeks, that now people are demonstrating, civil servants, teachers, people are just protesting because they want higher wages, because they want their rights, because they want things to get better. So it's an encouraging sign and a remarkably quick change around of time. If you think just 3 weeks ago, the country was still under emergency law and they had a president who had been in power for 32 years. It's amazing. And I think generally that, I said at the beginning, like, young people were the reason that I certainly got there. And that's true, I think, at the beginning. But speaking to Egyptian friends and speaking to a lot of Egyptian people there, it seemed like a completely, it was a full spectrum of people that made this happen. It was the young kind of intellectuals, university educated people that made it happen to begin with via social media. And they certainly came out in the early days of the protests. Then as the protests grew, it was joined by working classes and poorer people, people that had just, quite frankly, had enough of the regime. They came to Tahrir Square and started to protest. And it was those guys that during the fighting, the rock throwing, those were the guys that were manning that front line, putting up barricades, throwing rocks back at pro-Mubarak supporters, defending Tahrir Square with their lives. It was amazing. Then once they had managed to defeat the pro-Mubarak guys, the thugs, the Beltagaya that tried to take Tahrir Square, when it became peaceful and when the army started to gradually have more influence and more control, a lot more people started to come. Religious, secular, young, old, women, children, everybody started to come to Tahrir Square. And so finally on the night of the revolution on the 12th, it was just a complete cross-section of Egyptians that were there, and they all made it happen. So it was a complete full spectrum of people that made it happen. It wasn't just young people in the end. And that's my experience. Thanks.